it's 4th of July and we celebrate Independence Day. And, you know, I'm reading articles today where, you know, burn this country down, blow it up, get rid of it. They took away women's rights because we allow a child to live now as such a hateful country. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, man, the atrocities that are happening in this country because they have freedom to exercise it. But the problem is, the more freedom a crazy person gets, the more crazy that person gets. Have you noticed that? And so we are, our country, unfortunately, our country is trekking down a path that if we don't stop it or we don't U-turn very quickly, we will reach the point of no return. My fear is we've already reached it. But I'm still optimistic, right? Because I don't want to come up here and tell you it's over. it's over. I don't want to do that. So this morning I thought what I would do is give you some highlights on how it all began. Amen. How it all began. Because here's the truth of the matter. People will tell you this country's not founded on the gospel. They're a liar. People will tell you, you have no right to bring the church into the state. Ah, you're even crazier yet. You keep your religion to yourself. I will. I'm just going to share my relationship with Jesus with you, right? I mean, and we're going to constantly get this attack, but how did this country really begin? And I thought, man, that's what I am going to preach on the 4th of July, how it all began. How it all began. And my heart breaks for this country. My heart breaks for the generations that are coming up. I'll be honest with you. I think 45 and up, with a few exceptions, are probably the most sane people still on earth. And then I thought, wow, well, it used to be, but now even older people have jumped on the crazy bandwagon. And I'm like, okay, you know, we could blame it on senility, but it's just outright sin, right? I mean, we're going to take the senility out and it's just sin. And I'm thinking to myself, how is it that you can take people that were so firmly rooted and so easily move them left? How is it that when COVID hit, they so easily, not just Americans, but the entire world, they moved to insanity? What we know to be true, we still ignored, and everybody went, you know, and crazy in the world. And I'm going, how is it we can do this? Because Satan, listen, Satan is incredibly cunning. And he will deceive us. And if we're not rooted in the Word of God, we're in trouble. How it all began. Psalm 33:12 says this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we are 246 years old this year. 246. And I will tell you, we have been a blessed nation. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance, right? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Well, who did he choose? Well, he's chosen all of us. Amen? For God, for whosoever, right? It's for anybody that wants to believe unto the Lord. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And America has been a blessed, blessed nation because we have made God our Lord. And we based this nation on liberty, responsibility, and the covenants of God. And the freedoms that God says all humanity should live in and under. And we've done that. What's crazy about today's left is they want their freedoms, but they don't want anyone else to have freedoms that go contrary to them. And they don't realize that the freedoms they're choosing are actually bondage. They just keep putting themselves further and further into bondage. And they think it's freedom. That's how Satan lives. And Satan can give you a lemon and convince you that it is lemon drops and that it's candy. And people constantly live in that. But I'm going to tell you, God said that I've given you freedom. And if you're free in me, you're free indeed. And as a country, we are throwing it away rapidly. So what are we really celebrating today? Well, or tomorrow, we're celebrating those freedoms, religious freedoms, even the freedom to desecrate the flag. You have that freedom. You have that right. Not when I'm standing there, but you have that right. And the truth of the matter is we were founded on the Christian ethics that are throughout the scriptures. That's what America was founded on. We're a God-based nation from our very roots. And I'm going to tell you that Christian faith was involved in just about every aspect of our nation's beginnings. Just about every aspect. And I thought, man, let's get back to the beginning, you know, because everyone wants to rewrite history. And they are rewriting history. And our young people, they're growing up so ignorant of what's really truth. And it's because parents, no offense, but when you're silent, you're saying, okay, school, it's okay to do your brainwashing and I'll just leave it alone. And you go, I'm not doing that. No. If you're silent, you are doing that. See, evil prevails when good people do nothing. And so if you're silent, you're part of the problem. I'm just saying. Christopher Columbus in 1504 wrote his reason for setting forth to discover a new land to be, right? And this is what he said. I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to undiscovered lands. All we hear is, he sailed the ocean blue, right? The truth is, he writes in his memoirs that the Holy Spirit moved him to share the gospel in undiscovered lands. He would have been our first missionary. I mean, if you would, maybe not the first, but you get what I'm saying? Like he would have been a missionary. The pilgrims who came to Plymouth Rock on the Mayflower formed what is called the Mayflower Compact. They formed this in 1620. And these are the words of the Mayflower Compact, or some of them. In the name of God, amen, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith, do solemnly and mutually in the presence of God covenant and combine ourselves together. 23 years later, the Puritans formed a confederation called the New England Confederation. And this was the first written constitution by the people who were meeting together in 1643. And it says this, whereas we all came into these parts with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity and peace. The Puritans couldn't worship Jesus Christ the way they wanted to in England. And so they came here where they had the freedom to do that. That's why this land was founded. So anybody who tells you, it wasn't founded on the gospel, it wasn't founded on Jesus Christ, Christians didn't begin this nation, they're part of the devil, they're deceivers. They're deceivers. They don't want you to know the truth. I want you to know the truth, because how can you stand if you stand in ignorance? And so they came to America so they could literally live the gospel without persecution. As our nation began to take shape, that's like saying axe. How do you say ACTS without sounding like AXES? Someone say axe. 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 Sounds like it's an axe, huh? Chop it with an axe. Yeah, ain't. Ain't.
Ain't.
Oath. Oath. There you go, right? So as it started to take shape and the founders were putting and giving in their oaths to establish this under the gospel, we clearly see in the documents that were drafted as each state organized itself. The Delaware Charter defines the purpose of their colony to further spread the holy gospel. Delaware, who now is the birthplace of Biden and the death place of the gospel. The Virginia Charter. And, you know, Virginia used to be one of those places where everyone would move to because you had the freedom of religion and you had freedom to be all that God would have you to be. And Virginia used to be that state and not so much anymore. But in the beginning, the Virginia Charter assured the right of each people to live in Christian peace. And as a matter of fact, this is what they wrote. Spread Christian religion to such people who yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. Rhode Island Compact states this: we submit our persons, lives, and estates under our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was Rhode Island. I bet you wouldn't hear them saying that today. Listen to what the founding fathers put down and the commitment that they have. George Washington's personal prayer book says this: O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Blessed, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like left-wing crazies started this country, does it? As a matter of fact, if you trace history, all through history, what you find is those who have the liberal mentality typically destroy everything they get a hold of. All of them. And you can argue that all you want, but if you're willing to look at facts, the facts will silence you. You get a left-wing crazy outside of the Word of God and the things of God, and what you will have is Chicago and that crazy lunatic mayor that they have. Oh, New York City too. Don't let me forget that. Anyway, here we go. John Quincy Adams, who would become the sixth president, later said in 1821 about the Declaration of Independence, "From the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they all acknowledge as the root of their conduct. We all came together to obey the word of God." And he was also the chairman of the American Bible Society. These are our founding fathers, guys. Patrick Henry said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not but religionist, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Patrick Henry. Even President Thomas Jefferson, in his address to Danbury Baptist, said this: "The First Amendment has created a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure the Christian principles will always stay in government." President Thomas Jefferson. I got goosebumps because that statement says it's a one-way. We don't keep the church out of the government. We keep the government out of the church. And people who want to argue that and fight that do not know their history, or they've read a book where someone has went in and changed the history or deleted it. 4th of July, Independence Day. What does it mean? Well, what it meant to these guys is the freedom to worship Jesus Christ openly and without rebuke and without shame, and to build a nation where every generation born from that moment on could do the very same. And Christians have fallen silent in the name of, oh, I don't want to offend, or, oh, I love this one, they're just weak and inept. They're just weak and inept. I won't say the name Jesus. What will this crowd think of me? Hopefully they'll think enough of you that you set the example. We don't set the examples anymore. Not for godliness in Jesus Christ. We fall silent, man. These guys weren't silent. And these guys were saying, if you want to keep this country, then you better keep it rooted in Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Bible. If you don't, you'll lose it all. And now we have people posting, burn the country to the ground because they took away a woman's right to destroy another life. Ladies, if you're here and you had an abortion, I'm sorry. And if you're fighting with that and struggling with it, they say 1 in 4, so I know there's some in here. 1 in every 4 has had an abortion is what they say. My heart goes out to you because I know the majority of you deal with and struggle with the complications that that created, whether it be physically or emotionally. And I don't talk about abortion to remind you or to hurt your feelings or to bring it up or to make you distraught. I don't do that. But if I'm silent about it, then the next generation thinks it's okay. And so here's what you need to do if you've done this. You get rooted in Jesus Christ, know you've been forgiven, and then you move on. Now, I say that bluntly, but I realize there's a lot more to that, so I'm not minimizing it. But we can't be silent either just because it hurts your feelings. But that's what it is on everything, on every front, on every sin. We can't be silent about it. Because the silence is what has destroyed our country. These men were not silent. 4th of July, fireworks, hot dogs, baseball, woohoo! It's not going to be long before there's no fireworks and no hot dogs, and you'll be lucky if you can find a ball in a mitt or even a couple guys willing to throw it in a field anymore. Jefferson wrote on the front of his Bible these words: I am a Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. Sure, baby, how you like that definition? I am a Christian, that is to say, on the doctrines, thus saith the word of God, on the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Golly, you gotta forgive me. That right there would juice your juicer. That's all I'm saying. Whew. He says, I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator, and I hope to the pure doctrine of Jesus also. And for many years, he was spot on. And it happened. And it wasn't until we allowed another party to come into our government called the Democrats. That was painful. They come in. Do you realize? I'm just going to give you a little more information, okay? Today is information highway. Do you realize that when they voted to free the slaves, it was 100% Republicans, yes, and 100% Democrats, no. Do you realize that? And you're like, that's not true. Do your homework. Do your homework. Not one Democrat voted to free the slaves. Not one. Just like they're not voting to free our country, just like our resident said, hey, listen, you know what? The high fuel, that's the cost of war. Anybody figure out we're not in war? Russia and Ukraine is not our fight. And then he said this, and you need to hear this real clear. He said, the prices will remain high and go even higher until, it's like, whoo, there's an ending, until the establishment of the new world order. Verbatim, that's what he said. The new world order. Does anybody know what the new world order is? Absolute loss of freedom. Absolutely, you no longer have a choice to decide what color of toilet paper you want, let alone what color of clothes you're going to wear, where you're going to live, how you're going to work, where you're going to work, what you're going to pay for stuff. You have no, it's gone. New world order comes in. And Biden said these high fuel prices will remain until the new world order is established. How far we have removed from President Jefferson. I am a Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus. I have little doubt that our whole country will soon be rallied to the unity of our Creator, and I hope to the pure doctrine of Jesus also. How much further we have went. Benjamin Franklin, debating on how the Declaration of Independence would be written, Ben Franklin stood and said, gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek His face. 56 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 53 of them were professing Christians. Can you imagine if our Congress and our Supreme Court went to their knees in prayer and sought what was best for the country and not for their money laundering New World Order agenda? In 1782, the United States Congress voted this resolution. The Congress of the United States recommends and approves the Holy Bible for use in all schools. That was 1782. Not too long after that. Well, I guess long after that, it was taken out of the schools. So we have what's called an executive branch, a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. How many know that we had those? Woohoo! God bless you. And we wonder, where did we get the executive branch, the legislative branch, and a judicial branch, right? Say, Pastor, where did that come from? You guys ask the best questions. Isaiah 33:22, sir, if you'd put that up, I want you to see. For the Lord is our judge, that's judicial. Our lawgiver, that's legislative, and our king, that's executive. That's where we got it. It's established. And then the verse goes on. The Lord is our king. He will save us. They knew this. And when the framers of our government got together and they said, how can we best organize our government? They looked to the Word of God. Now, here's even really cool. And man, I might actually get done with this early. I'm impressed with myself. Oh, man, this is so cool. How many are actually enjoying learning the real history? Isn't that cool? Now, the Christian church and its pastors, what role did we play in this? Now, back then, I didn't play a role in it, but today I'm trying, just for clarity. The Christian church and its pastors plays a role in America's early days. This is how. Francis Bellamy wrote Pledge of Allegiance. Pastor Francis Bellamy wrote the Pledge of Allegiance. The pastor Samuel Smith wrote the hymn, My Country Tis of Thee. John Leland, who is another preacher, wrote the introduction of the First Amendment to the Constitution. You can't get rid of Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Prior to the war between the states. Oh, you guys are going to love these facts. Prior to the war between the states, 90% of all America's colleges presidents, let me continue, were preachers of the gospel. 90%. You know what that means? The only brainwashing going on up in there was Jesus. Just saying. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William and Mary, and Columbia were founded by Christian preachers and church affiliations with the express intent to educate youth for Christ. Now, what do? They remove it all. Teach you how to transition, not from lost to saved, but from a perfectly healthy body to distort it. John Harvard, that name sound familiar to anyone? John Harvard, a pastor in Charlestown, Massachusetts. And by the way, Harvard University was named after him. He states this, that every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main ends of his life and studies, to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the foundation of all knowledge and learning, and see that the Lord only giveth wisdom, to let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek Christ Jesus as Lord and Master. Even Harvard's original seal, which can be seen on campus today, to this day, says this, truth for Christ and the church. Harvard. The uppity yup-yups. America's first school book was the New England Primer. It has the Lord's Prayer on its cover. It taught the alphabet and theological verse, which means A, in Adam's fall we sinned all. B, is heaven defined, the Bible's mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. That's how it taught the alphabet. Today is A, all are accepted. B, by, not B-Y. C. Crazy! All right, at any rate, I'm sorry. I'm controlling myself and waking everybody else up. All right, here we go. Listen, the influence of God is overwhelming. That God created or had a part in creating this country and founding this country, and everything was built on his word for him to give him glory and to bring people to him. And if you pay attention to the history, the evidence is overwhelming to the point you cannot deny it. And yet people deny it. Well, why? Because those people are going to hell and they want you to join them. Done. It's quite simple. Satan's their father. If you're not saved, Satan's your father. And you go, Satan's not my daddy. Read the scriptures. Yes, he is. I just did a podcast on that. Satan's your daddy. No, I'm kidding. any rate, despite modern politicians and what they say and the history revisionists, America was founded not only the concept of freedom to worship any god, not on the concept of freedom to worship any god being Buddha, Allah, whatever else names are out there now, but on the freedom to worship Jesus Christ only. And I'm going to tell you, America's hope, the only hope we have, is we have to return back to our founding fathers' ideas and goals. Yep, they weren't perfect. Nobody said they were, but neither are you and I. And you still want grace and forgiveness, so we extend it to them. Because even in their imperfection, they understood that to grow a country, to have a nation that's going to prosper, has to be formed on the gospel. China's president wrote in praise to our resident, saying that it is good that Biden recognizes the dangers of capitalism. Now, if you don't know the idea of capitalism, you are freshly out of college, because they won't teach you that. But the reality is, it is capitalism that built this country. You're like, oh, they shouldn't have more money than me. Well, then work harder. Welcome to America. I'm just saying. My money is not your money. I don't have to give it to you. Neither does anybody else. Get a job. Oh, you're lazy? Paul says you don't need to eat. Shrivel up and die. I mean, that's what happens if you don't eat. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to get a job. My sarcasm is beginning to show. I better get back to the scriptures. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin destroys people. That's not me saying that. That's the scriptures. You don't believe me? You look at anyone that is living sin without repentance, and you will see this verse to be true. And here's the crazy part about it. We have people in our government that is guilty of sin, and the innocent are paying the price. Sin doesn't get checked at the door. It seeps through like last week's dead animal. We all witnessed that, amen? Psalm 33:12 says this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation. Well, I'm going to tell you, the hour has come. Romans 13:11, the hour has come. It says this, and do this, knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, wake up. Wake up! Wake up! That's what the verse is saying. Now's the time. The house is on fire, if you will. And if you stay sleeping, you will get burned up. Unfortunately, way too many Americans are sleeping. And what's even more unfortunate is that Christians are lazy and sleeping as well. Not all. But there was a time when the majority of Americans were Christians. And if you weren't a Christian, you still had a healthy respect for God and the Bible. Not today. That's gone. There was also a time when you had to be a Christian to hold office. That's gone. Those days are gone. And the reason they're gone is because Christians, Christians have caved in to the way of the world. Christians have left the gospel for their own pleasure, but then it becomes the demise of all. That's what happens, right? But I got what I wanted. Woohoo! And everyone died in the process, right? That's what happens. Jesus spoke to the church in Sardis, Revelation 3, 2 through 3. Be watchful. Be watchful. That means, hey, if you're sleeping, wake up. Be aware. Know what's going on. Understand the times. Stand up for truth. Don't be silent. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. What remains? Family, church, government, school. Everything remains still. Why are we not strengthening it? Instead, we're joining it as a church, which is absolutely disgusting. Why are we joining what's dying? How many were here last week? How many remember the smell that was in here last week from the dead animal? For those watching live, it wasn't in the room. It went under the building. That's what you're joining. Do you realize that? That death and nasty and gross and maggots and the deterioration and the odor. Oh my goodness, the odor. People were telling me they were putting coconut whatever underneath of their nose and mint underneath their nose so they would, or on their upper lips, so they would smell that rather than what the room was. It was horrid, but bless God, you stayed. Amen and amen. I wanted to run too, but I thought since you were staying, I'd stay. I was like, who's with me? Let's go out to the parking lot. Stunk out there too. But that's what the church is doing. And that is how the church is beginning to smell. You can't claim life and live death. You can't do that. You just can't do it. And so Jesus says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Guys, our country is ready to die because we're quiet and we're giving it away. And the left crazies are wanting to kill it because they got somewhere else to move to. See, that shows you they're not even thinking. They're not even processing information. They want immediate gratification and don't care about, they're not even thinking about what's down the road. That's why most people don't accept Jesus as their Savior, because they're not thinking about what's down the road. It's okay now. I feel good now. I'm healthy now. Everything's fine now. I'm not looking at death, but you're going to die and you're going to stink. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent, hold fast and repent, hold fast and repent, all throughout scriptures, even in the beginning of our country. Listen, hold fast to the truth of God, repent of our sin and build a great nation. That was our whole goal. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. I will come upon you as a thief, meaning that all of a sudden he's going to show up and it's going to be ugly. Ugly. And so Jesus is telling the church of Sardis, remember what made you great, repent of the things that destroyed you and hold to my standards. That's what God is telling, or what Jesus is saying. President Woodrow Wilson said this, a nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today. We need to wake up, guys. We need to lift America up in prayer I'll tell you, we should be storming heaven with our petitions for our nation. Storming heaven, saying, oh Lord, please put your hand upon us. From the beginning of our nation, God has been intervening on our behalf. We have seen it over and over again. After 9/11 and the devastating Hurricane Katrina, you guys remember that? Our nation came together, but for a short time. Ann Graham Lotz, who's Billy Graham's daughter, said this at that time. For years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand that he leave us alone? That's like kids going, Mom, Dad, you can't tell me what to do. What's for dinner? You can't come into my room. What do you mean I got to pay you rent? That's the mentality that we're having right now as a nation, right? With God. But listen, we want the blessings of God, but don't you dare tell us what to do. We want as kids want the blessing of their parents to live in their homes for free and do nothing but take and take and take and take and take and take and give and have no plans, and they're lazy and they stay in the room and play video games all day and do whatever they do all day. Listen, they're not interested in working, don't want to work, not interested in helping. They just want their own little paradise and someone else to pay for it. That's what we want from God. We want our own little paradise and him to pay for it. Doesn't work that way, guys. It does not work that way. We need to be praying for our nation, not waiting on the White House and not waiting on the State House or waiting on the courthouse. We need to be praying in the house of God. We need to be seeking God's face, because I'm going to tell you, if it's going to change, it's going to take prayer and diligence, and it's going to take the Christian to stop compromising. To stop compromising. I'm still a firm believer. This is the pessimist side of me, and I'm about to finish. So for those of you who are tired of hearing me, the clock doesn't stop, so there's your blessing. I am convinced, and I've said this over and over and over again, and man, I hope I'm wrong. Man, I pray I'm wrong. But I don't believe we're going to have an election in 2024. I don't believe it. Just don't believe it. I think our country is so far and so corrupt, and Christians just keep giving it away more and more. You know how when a fish grabs a line, anybody ever go fishing or witness it? And a fish is on the line, and they're like, let him run. And that way you can snatch it back and really sink it in, right? And that way he can't get off the hook. We're like, let him run. This is what we're telling our government. Let him run. I'll just cut the line. He don't need to be caught. Let him go. And we're letting our government go. And they're killing us. And I think by 2024, there won't be an election. I just don't think there will be. Man, I pray I'm wrong. Whew, I hope I'm wrong. That, or there's no election because Jesus shows up. I'm in for that, right? I'll tell you, man, we need to be praying. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:19, actually, if I didn't give this to you, but I am going to... In 7:14, it says this, and many of you know 7:14. If you could put 7:14 up for me, right? If you would, just shoot it up there real quick. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, and by the way, this is very specific to Israel, just for clarity, okay? I know sometimes we all claim this, but, and I guess we can claim it because it says, if my people... So if Christians can claim it, we can keep that in. But the real context of this is for Israel. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Hold it right here. The problem that I'm seeing happen in America, even if we could apply this verse to us today, which I mean, if my people, we're God's people, we've been grafted in, amen, we can pray. And so if my people who are called by my name, so if Christians who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So humble themselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways. There's four requirements there that are necessary for God to heal, to forgive our sin and heal our land. There's four requirements. I'm not seeing humility. I'm just not seeing it. Not even in churches. I'm not seeing it in Christians or the majority of Christians. Pray. You know, we have prayer time. We have and this has been throughout the history. Well, I'm going to say not the history. This has been the last 20 years. If they have a prayer meeting in church, usually about 1% of the church will show up. 1%. That's fair number across the board. A friend of mine has a church out in California, and he runs 2,500, 2,800, something like that. And they have, every week they have prayer time. Every week they have a prayer team that comes together to pray. And then once a month they have a prayer meeting for the whole church to show up. Out of almost 2,800 people, 11 show up weekly for prayer. 11. Five of them are paid staff. When they have a meeting on prayer, their normal midweek meeting would run 1,000 people. When they have a meeting, specific prayer meeting, they'll get about 75 that'll show up out of almost 3,000. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. I read statistics about 2 years ago. The majority of the time that Christians seek God's face is when they're in desperation, when they're in need, or, which I found interesting, when they're looking for somebody to blame. And pray and seek my face. And then, check this out. Turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. It's a new lifestyle. It's a godly lifestyle, not the same lifestyle that you live. And that turn from their wicked ways, where's the evidence in that as a whole for the church? Matter of fact, we see the church doing the exact opposite, right? So he says, if I see those four things, I'll heal your land. 2 Chronicles 7:19, if you go back to 19. Here's what we find. God says this, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, go into 20, if you will. I should have put 20 in there. It says, then I will uproot them. I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, in this house, which I have sanctified for my name. I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all people. If you do this, whoo, man, it is. It's honey. Good. But, and you know the problem is? So many people are incredibly content with verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, and you go and you serve other gods and worship them, I will uproot you. And we actually get used to the fire and okay with the heat. And okay with being uprooted. Do you not realize that once you get uprooted, that's death? It's just a matter of time. Do you not realize you can't stay in your sin? It's just a matter of time. Well, where's God? I've been living this way a long time. God hasn't showed up. Oh, he's so long-suffering. You need to be glad. Right? But the day is coming, because if the day doesn't come, then God's a liar. God's a liar. And I don't think God's the liar. I think people are the crazy. Listen, this isn't a warning or a gesture. It's a promise from God. And most Christians are ignorant about the culture that we're living in. The church is ignorant now, and they have forsaken the word of God. And I just want you to know that Jesus never told us to retreat. Matthew 10:16, and I'm going to finish up here real quick. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And the truth is, guys, we're as flighty as doves and as mean as serpents anymore. It's terrible. And God's like, listen, you know what? You don't retreat. You move on. You move on. You stay steadfast. Daniel Webster said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. Today, we don't have a nation that's ready to defend liberty. We have nations that are ready to tear liberty down because we didn't get our own way to be sinful. And Philippians 2:15-16 say this, that you become blameless and harmless children of God without faith in the midst, without fault. We need faith. Forgive me. That you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We're called to be holy. We're called to be righteous. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Go to the next one, please. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, far too long we've been guilty of the sin of silence. Martin Luther King Jr. Was 26 years old, and he had a one-year-old daughter when he was called as the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. He had been raised in an affluent African-American family in Atlanta and attended the finest schools available to him. The city was in turmoil because one of his members, Rosa Parks, had been arrested when she had refused to move to the back of the city bus. He had received a midnight phone call with this message. We are tired of you and the mess you've caused. If you aren't out of town in 3 days, we're going to blow your brains out and blow up your house. As Dr. King thought about this, thought about his one-year-old daughter, he was greatly tempted to leave Montgomery and not get involved. But then he asked himself if this was the kind of world he wanted his daughter to grow up in, and he decided he would take a stand. Dr. King later said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. We can find examples throughout the Bible, guys. Moses petitioned Pharaoh. Nathan confronted David. Elijah faced off against King Ahab. Daniel pronounced judgment. John the Baptist pointed out the adultery of King Herod. And I'm just going to tell you that we have to take a stand and we have to speak up. And at some point, we have to say enough is enough, because if we don't, we're going to lose our country. It's already on track. I mean, we are spot on to lose our country in the next few years. Spot on. We are dead on track. And if all you can think about is keep going out partying, having fun, living your life, doing the things you shouldn't do because you're going to enjoy life and it's going to be fun and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And if you think this is going to continue, you are sadly mentally disturbed and spiritually bankrupt. To think that you can keep living in your sin and destroying that which God says he wants to ordain and protect. You are mentally disturbed and morally or spiritually bankrupt. If you think that you can ignore a problem and it's going to go away because you are the ostrich that has stuck your head in the sand, you are mentally disturbed and spiritually bankrupt. And if you think that you can ignore this country's problems and this country will be standing when your child grows up. You are mentally gone and spiritually bankrupt. Our country is on the verge of collapse. And to do nothing says you agree with that. Do not be angry, do not be shocked when your world falls apart because God takes his hand off of you or God takes his hand off of us as a country. Don't be shocked. We've had warning and warning and warning and warning and warning and warning. And we need to speak out against homosexuality. We need to speak out against transgender dysphoria. We need to speak out against abortion. We need to speak, listen, I'm telling you, we need to speak out against same-sex marriage. We need to speak out. And if you have the mentality that everybody needs to be loved, you're part of the problem. If you have the mentality that it's not in my house, just leave it alone, you are disturbed. You're spiritually bankrupt. Because every time you open your phone or open a laptop or turn on your TV, it's in your house. You're not watching your children and they are seeing. Do you realize that by 5 years old, a child has seen porn? By the time they're five, that's the average age now. By the time they're 11, they're experiencing things that they shouldn't have even seen yet. Our country is desperate for the Christian to wake up. It's desperate. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't even know what I am right now, Father. Father, I know that people are going to celebrate this weekend, tomorrow, fireworks, all this hoopla. But Father, from where I'm standing, there is nothing to celebrate right now but you and Jesus Christ. Father, I don't want to be a naysayer, Father. I don't want to be negative, but I also understand that we cannot continue to move forward in the direction that we are moving forward and expect your hand to be upon us. Father, we cannot continue to move forward starving our household from your touch, starving our churches from the Holy Spirit's influence, starving our country from your presence and the knowledge of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as a nation of Christians, whatever that is today, Father, the numbers are so crazy and half the Christians aren't even Christians anymore, Father. They're a Christian in idea, but definitely not in lifestyle. Not even in belief when it nails it right down to it. Father, help us. Help us to see our depravity. Father, because it's not until we see our depravity and our hopelessness that we see the need for you. So, Father, help us to see that. But, Father, I do ask that you protect our country. I know we don't deserve it. But, Lord, I ask that you protect our country, that you open up doors, that you wake up the Christian. And, Father, that we're not silent anymore, but we're shouting from the rooftops. Father, we're pointing out sin and destroying it, not joining in with it. Christians, churches, Father, joining in on drunkenness. How crazy are we to think that we can be a part of that life and be your representative when you, Father, say, don't be drunk with wine. Father, we're supporting homosexuality as the church, and we're to love everyone, but yet, Father, you say you despise that lifestyle and you despise those who choose to live it rather than follow you. Father, we've lost our minds. Forgive us. Father, churches that are silent about abortion and their whole goal is, let's help people through it. Father, I admire helping people through it, but we must say it's wrong. For opening our doors as a church to allow the homosexual to serve openly in the church. Father, that's wrong. Help us clean our houses before we try to clean the nation. Father, before we go out and celebrate what we used to have, may we mourn what we've lost. Father, before we as Christians fall silent, knowing we have the answers, Father, drive us to repentance. Father, help us to read your word, to understand your word, so that we are prepared in the day that someone comes and asks us a question. Father, help our words to line up with our lifestyle. Father, may we stop being hypocrites in the church. May we stop joining the world, looking like the world, acting like the world, and showing up one day to say, I'm different. Father, may we stand and protect the children that are losing their identity in school, Father, because we've allowed the schools to convince our children they're something they're not. We've allowed our schools to throw you out, Father, and in the midst of throwing you out, we've allowed our homes to do the exact same thing. Father, may we repent from our wickedness. Father, to be silent says we agree with the world. Father, may we repent from our wickedness when we don't stand for you and in your word. And on your truths, Father. Father, may we as a church and a church body hold one another accountable to live and do that which is right in your sight rather than the world's sight. Father, may we forget about worrying about offending the world, Father, but that we focus on pleasing you. Father, help us as a body of believers, and I'm talking the entire church, whether it be Connecting Point Church or all the rest, Father, those who are believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, may we look at your word as a discipline to our lives and a pleasure to seek, knowing we are honoring you and not sacrificing all that really matters, Father. Father, if there's anybody in here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray this one thing, that you would move them, you would stir their very soul to surrender to Jesus, and that they would come up and talk to me, look me in the eye, Father, and say, today I made Jesus my Savior. And we would rejoice. And Father, for those who know Jesus as their Savior but still live like Satan, Father, just sit on them, sit on their chest, to where they struggle to breathe until they surrender to you. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you for those who are here today. Father, help us to always go back to the beginning, to learn, to grow, and to not repeat the things that displease you, Father. Father, help us to see where sin abounds and to run the other way. Father, help us to see where you're doing a great work and to jump right in. Father, use us in great and mighty ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If I could.